Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary, reflecting on the adventures of Paul and Silas. The adventures of Paul and Silas are very dramatic. Shipwrecks, exorcisms, courtrooms, preaching, beatings, jails, earthquakes, freedom, and people turning to faith wherever they go. There's an urgency and a power in their activity. And we could be tempted to look around at our little congregation, so young, so fragile, so busy, so tired. And we could throw up our hands in despair. For unlike Paul and Silas, we are ordinary people. Our voices are quiet, our gifts are just emerging, and we are only just learning about becoming a church. People aren't streaming through the doors, and it probably often feels like we offer nothing very extraordinary that matters to anyone very much beyond the congregation gathered here. A few prayers, a few stories, a few meals, a few songs. How can they possibly matter in this world? Well, they matter because that's exactly how the church has always started, small and on the margins. Tonight's story is set in Philippi, and the place of worship was outside the city walls, outside the walls. It was there that Paul and Silas found a welcome from a surprising source, Lydia, a merchant who dealt in luxury goods. And it was from there that their extraordinary ministry unfolded. And like every extraordinary ministry, it led to a clash with the powers, religion, money, and politics. For they clashed with the serpent spirit, which spoke through a slave girl. They clashed with the girl's owners, who were enraged when they lost their money-making scheme. And accused of being anti-Roman, they clashed with the state. It's not that they were seeking conflict, but the good news in Jesus Christ can be so threatening to people that it can lead to accusation, intimidation, and even violence. For Jesus proclaims that God's kingdom culture has drawn near. It's not some pie-in-the-sky future hope. It has already come. People who place their faith in this culture and accept the lordship of Jesus Christ threaten the world order because they effectively reject the lordship of anything and anyone else. And so as they live into God's generous kingdom culture of love, justice, and peace for all, they will find themselves in conflict with other powers. When girls are the property of greedy men, there will be a clash. When people are controlled by unholy spirits, there will be a clash. When we preach powerful words and live powerful lives which overflow with love for outsiders and for the vulnerable, there will be a clash. When we seek freedom not just for ourselves, but for all people, there will be a clash. And angry men will shout, "They're anti-Roman, they're anti-Australian, they're a threat to national values." Yet God's people will continue to risk these things and more, for they know that life is infinitely bigger than the present life, and this bigger life cannot be destroyed by oppression, violence, or even death, and this gives them courage. I think in part it is this courage that the jailer responds to. The sort of courage which leads Paul and Silas to pray and to sing joyfully while locked in the darkest dungeon of the jail. Their bodies might be in chains, but their spirits are free to carol through the dark hours of the night. The Roman authorities and thought police who threaten and control the jailer have no control over these two prisoners, and all the other prisoners are listening to them. They're listening because they also show a generous freedom. And when the earthquake comes, the walls fall down, the chains fall away, Paul and Silas are not the only ones made free. Every prisoner is freed, and the jailer is freed too. Unlike capitalism, which offers freedom to the rich, or an authoritarian patriarchy, which offers freedom to powerful men, or our democracy, which offers freedom to homegrown wealthy white citizens, The freedom here is a communal and collective freedom, lavishly granted to everyone. The slave girl and the free man, the political prisoner and the common thief, the jailer and the jailed, the Jew and the Roman, the deserving and the undeserving, all are made free in Christ. And here we are, part of this great story of collective courage and freedom, a story which is still unfolding throughout history and which has always used ordinary people in ordinary places to tell it and to live it out. But we're not the whole story, and we're only at our beginning, just a few words past once upon a time. So right now our job is to do the work of formation and to leave the amazing up to God. We are formed when we gather regularly together, nourished and bound together by word and table. We are formed when we tend one another's wounds and pray for each other. We are formed when we love our enemies, both inside and outside the church, and when we seek wholeness and freedom not just for ourselves, but for everyone. We are formed when we eat and talk and laugh and weep and play together, building strong relationships despite all that seeks to divide us. And we are formed when we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, not just when things are going well, but in our darkest nights, those times when we feel trapped and like we'll never be free. And when we do this work of formation in the name of our Lord and King, Jesus Christ, the courage and freedom which filled Paul and Silas and Lydia and her household and the jailer and his family will gradually fill us too. And it will gradually guide us into the amazing future which God has in store for us. And one day, perhaps, just as Luke wrote a story about Paul, Silas, Lydia, the slave girl, and the jailer, someone will no doubt write a story about Sanctuary. And everyone who reads it will be astonished at how God worked through a group of ordinary people, gathered in Christ's name and living into God's kingdom culture, right here in Warrnambool. Amen. Thanks for listening, and God bless you as you find your place in this wonderful story of courage and freedom.